I'm ready. You ready, Stevie Ray?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Let's burn this mother out. No.
So, Matt.
Steve.
For more insights and strategy, I'm Steve McDowell.
And I'm Matt Kimball.
And together we are the Data-Centric Podcast.
So we need to work on that intro so we can like say it together, you know, synchronized.
Like the Morning Zoo Crew? No, not doing it. Yeah. Hey, it's a special podcast this week.
Woo!
Last week, Pure Storage announced their earnings, and we've talked a lot about what's happening in the enterprise market and what's happening in the storage market. Mm-hmm. And if you look at most of the recent earnings, and as we record this, HPE announced yesterday, Dell comes out later this afternoon, so you know, we're recording this on Thursday, August 29th. To a company, even Intel talks about the slowdown in the enterprise buying market.
Yeah.
Right? Enterprise not buying.
Yep.
NetApp was down single digits, I think maybe 4% on their sales for product. And then Pure comes out, and Pure Storage, who only sells storage architecture,
right,
whether it's cloud or on-site, came in with a 28% growth year over year. Oh, right. And just so we don't know what the storage market grew, but last quarter it grew 5%. So I'm guessing that Pure outperformed their market. Yeah, so they grew their products 24% and their overall revenue 28%, because they had some huge, I don't remember the number, but some huge bump in their services business as well, right? So this is a company on fire.
Yeah.
So they invited me down to talk to their CEO, Charlie Giacotto, about what's going on at Pure and about the quarter. So I thought we would spend this podcast listening to Charlie tell the story about what went right, what went wrong. But what I really enjoyed in the conversation was he talked about his vision for how Pure plays in such a hybrid market long term, and how and we've talked about this a little bit, mm-hmm, how the conversation is less about how we move bytes and bits around, and much more about data and how we manage data within the enterprise.
Yeah.
So I don't want to steal Charlie's thunder, so I thought we'd jump in and let him tell the story.
Right on.
Thanks, Charlie, for taking the time to talk to us. You announced a quarter last week. It was a fantastic quarter.
Thank you very much, yes.
So I just want to lead off with this, right? So you're the only pure play storage vendor who's showing consistent growth and success, right? Last quarter, you broke an IDC's top five.
Yes.
Which was excellent, because I think the quarter before that, you predicted it publicly.
Yes.
So I'm like, man, it's a dangerous thing to predict these things. But you're competing against companies with broad and full stacks like Dell EMC and HPE, right? And they're selling full stack solutions and saying that's what IT wants. But you're winning. What's the secret?
Well, I think it really rests on two things. One is innovation and consistent innovation that's meaningful to customers. And the second is having a really strong sales team that is constantly hungry and searching for more, and more, most importantly, able to express to our customers our differentiation. On the innovation front, as you know, we have the highest net promoter score in the business. We keep our customers very happy, and a lot of that is built into the product itself. You know, in particular, its ability to self-manage the automation that's built in it, but the fact that it's more efficient, reliable than everything else that's out there, customers really appreciate that in a data product.
You know? So your net promoter scores for years now has bounced between about 85 and 90.
Yes.
And I think the average for a tech company is maybe 40 or 50 points below that.
Yes.
And to the point where most of your competitors don't publish theirs.
Correct.
What drives that? Is it support? Is it Pure One? Is it the what? You tell me.
Well, it's a number of things, but I always say that satisfaction is the difference between expectations and reality, and our competitors have done a great job of setting expectations very low. So the experience that we give to our customers is so much higher than our competitors that it's for them, I think for our customers, a surprise on the upside when they find out that storage can be easy to manage, that it can be reliable, that it doesn't require weeks or 2 weeks worth of training and a manual that's 2 inches thick.
Sure.
To be able to set up and to be able to operate. That's very important, and frankly, that it works. They're also surprised when 90% of the support tickets are opened by us on behalf of the customer before the customer knew there was a problem.
And that's all attributed to Pier 1?
It's attributed to both the array itself in terms of being easy to operate and manage and reliable, and Pier 1 in terms of its ability to take on the metadata that we supply it from the arrays, analyze it, measure it against normal operations, to be able to look back at issues we've had in the past and analyze a customer's environment to see if it's in the same sort of ballpark as when issues have occurred with other customers, and then our alerting system that alerts both our team and then the customer that we may want to take some proactive actions to make sure that they don't get into trouble.
And you're doubling down on Pier 1. It's not just about alerting and trouble isolation. Right? You're putting modeling features and help me predict the future thing, right?
We're doing predict the future. What if I change my workload or change my my system, add more performance, take less performance? What does this mean? And pretty soon we're going to be enabling customers to do more active management, such as policy-based tiering and so forth.
So getting back to the quarter, your numbers were, I don't remember your revenue number, but...
Well, we were 28% up.
You were 20% up, 24% on product.
Million, right, 24 on product and 40 on service, yes.
So that's an incredible number on the service side.
Yeah.
So you got to be happy. So you're taking share from somebody. The week before NetApp announced, and they said that enterprise sales were down.
Yes.
You're showing growth. We haven't seen the IDC numbers for the quarter, but I'm expecting you outgrow the market.
I'm expecting we outgrow the market, and which competitors have been able to keep up or not. If we look back over the last two quarters, there was only one other competitor that was up, and they were up by only 3%. So that puts us, almost 10 times more growth than the next nearest competitor.
Sure. You did guide a little down on revenue for second half. You chalked that up to flash pricing. You said unit sales are strong.
Unit sales are strong.
But there's a glut of NAND. And
NAND pricing in terms of dollars per terabyte has dropped pretty significantly this year.
And you can't hide that from your customers and take the margin. They know.
Our competitors will take it to the market very quickly, and so, of course, we have to follow suit. Overall, this is good for us. It doesn't necessarily appear within one quarter, but as prices go down, customers start planning for more and more of their storage and their workloads to go into flash rather than disk. Flash has only penetrated less than 20% of the overall disk market in terms of total capacity. So we have a long way to go to convert that old-fashioned mechanical.
Sure.
It's just amazing to me that computers are still held together with mechanical parts, maybe, and I'm talking beyond the fans, right? There's mechanical parts in computers, and they're called hard disks.
I know every quarter.
I've been a semiconductor guy since I got started, and it's amazing that it hasn't gone there.
Every quarter, I look forward to the Backblaze disk reliability numbers. It's crazy. So what's going to challenge Pure over the next 18, 24 months when we're looking at execution?
Right? From a vision and strategy standpoint, what challenges us is just modernizing data storage. I mean, the fact that data storage has been mechanical for such a long period of time and hampered by so many technological impediments, both the mechanical disk as well as networks. Networks have been relatively slow compared to the speed at which processors want to access their data. Now that we've got 100, 400 gigabit networking speeds coming up, it's really going to allow a real separation of data from the hardware stack. And what that's going to do is really free up the data environment such that data can be placed in an automated way where it's best positioned, while at the same time programmers and applications through a set of APIs can identify what type of data environment it wants to be able to best operate. We're already seeing some of this in the hyperscalers, but being able to provide this on-prem as well as in the cloud for our enterprise customers is a great opportunity for us and something we're really looking forward to.
So enterprise IT buyers tend to buy slowly.
Yes.
Storage has historically long replacement cycle.
Yeah.
I think we're coming off of a couple of years of replacement cycle where all your nearline storage and your hot data is now flash.
Right.
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 That's kind of hit that point. Are the things you're talking about going to motivate IT to go and replace spinning drives faster?
I don't know if it's faster, and I'm not sure we need faster because spinning drives are replaced certainly every 4 or 5 years, which is a good pace for us. But I think the thing that is really going to be significant is that with this most recent price drop and with others that we see happening in the future with QLC. For the first time, flash is going to be price competitive at the secondary tier level. So that opens up a whole new, 30, 40, 50% of the spinning disk market to flash storage. And that's a very exciting opportunity.
Okay. So you just need to continue doing what you're doing and executing.
It makes it sound easy, doesn't it? Every day is a new set of challenges. I mean, just scaling a company, even at 30% a year, which is what we're doing right now, opens up new challenges for us,
sure.
Right? And not ones that other growth companies haven't seen in the past, but of course, for every company, it's new.
Well, let's talk about challenges. So you've talked a lot, before we did this podcast, I went and listened to some interviews you did and read a few. You talk a lot about how data has become the critical resource for an enterprise, right? And I think a challenge for a lot of organizations is figuring out how to derive value from their data. I'll throw one of your quotes back at you. You said, quote, 20 years from now, there'll be one data store. That's where Pure is taking the world.
Right.
How do you think about that? Tell me what you mean by that.
What we mean by that is that if you're in the phrase it with an analogy, right? When you walk into your kitchen or your bathroom and you want a glass of water, you turn on the tap, right? And you can get hot water, you can get cold water. You don't really think much about what's going on underneath all the plumbing and all the systems that make that available to you. All you want is good, clean, fresh water that does what you want it to do, right? It's got the right pressure, the right temperature, and it's pretty easy because you have a simple little lever in most cases to make that happen. Today, in the data environment, you have to worry about all the plumbing that goes on, and everything has its own water source, and it only comes at one temperature, and that temperature is designed specifically for that one thing that you're trying to make it do. When in fact, the data should be more of a utility, both an application and from a developer's point of view, where they say what it is that they need from their data source, and that's what's delivered to it. And that's really where I think we need to go. We need to hide all the vendors, mm-hmm. need to hide all the complexity behind it, and create a single data store that provides the same data at different performance levels, depending on the APIs, that takes care of all the things you want to do in the background, such as protecting the data, backing up the data, recovering the data, archiving the data, without all under API and under policy management.
So to deliver on that vision, right, and what I think you're talking about is there's a consistent data plane and control plane across a broad abstraction of storage, right?
Correct.
I've got to deliver data to consumers that have, multivariate whatever.
Right.
And to me, that's going to span both my flash array and my cloud, right? Because data is going to be
correct.
Data, especially if I'm doing data lake with...
It's got to be multi-location, multi-protocol.
So are you predicting a future that Pure is going to lead us there where... I've abstracted all my storage, and I've just got a data interface?
Indeed.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. Now, by the way, I've lived through this before. When I first got started in the communications industry, every application, if we could call it an application, had its own network. Voice had its own network. Mm-hmm. It was both analog and digital. Then there were data networks. There was an IBM SNA network that worked for IBM systems, and there was an X25 network. There was an EDI network. There was a T1 network. All these different networks, and there were countless others, and there was an Ethernet network that had countless protocols on it. One of those protocols was IP. If we look back, that was 30 years ago, and in 30 years, we went from dozens of different physical and and protocol networks. And today we have one network, and it's called IP. It's called Internet Protocol. Everything rides on Internet Protocol today. Customers wouldn't even think about creating a second network. Why is data different than that? Why isn't there one data environment? And now, when you look at the IP network, you know, the way video goes over it is different than voice and is different than you know, different types of data, but there's still one network. And it's not that data is all going to be the same. Data will need to be treated differently within the data store. But from, again, a user's perspective, it looks like one consistent environment.
Okay. And you're on the path to deliver that? That's a challenge.
We're at the starting line.
The starting line. Yes. But that's the goal. That's the ultimate vision.
That's correct.
So you're one of the last remaining pure play storage vendors, right? The only one demonstrating growth and success. The world is moving toward a mix of software-defined everything.
Right.
You know, if you talk to Dell EMC or HPE, it's all about converged infrastructure.
Yes.
How do you compete there? Your competitors are positioning a world where storage as a standalone product shouldn't matter.
Right.
But you're taking a different tact.
Well, it's a very different vision, right? In their case, it's all about consolidating everything in one stack. But that keeps the data very close to the application and very close to the hardware environment. If you believe that data is going to continue to grow, let's use a historical analogy. 20 years ago, even though everything was still based on Intel computers, each stack was quite proprietary to each individual application. The application was pretty much tied to the hardware stack. And the amount of data was relatively small. Applications often comprised more gigabytes, if you will, than the data that they managed. Having the data really being part of the stack made a lot of sense. As data continues to grow, the data is going to be not only much larger than the applications, but over the past 20 years has all been about virtualizing the applications so that they can be easily moved. As data grows from gigabytes to terabytes to petabytes, it doesn't matter how much bandwidth you have, it's going to be hard to move. Whereas the application is easy to move. Isn't it better to be able to create an environment where applications can easily move to different processing environments to where the data is rather than the other way around? And I believe that you really don't want the data tightly tied to the hardware environment. You're going to want that data to be available to any hardware and any application stack wherever it goes. So it's a different point of view. I think the data being tightly tied to the hardware makes sense in a robo environment where you have a smaller amount of data tied to a hardware stack. But when in a large environment, in a large data center type environment, you really want to create, as we talked about before, that single data store that can deliver its data to anywhere inside the data, data center environment.
Okay. Talk to me about how Pure thinks about cloud and hybrid cloud. You have your, let me say it this way. Everyone in the storage industry right now has a cloud storage offering. Various ways of achieving that, right? But you're not alone in that market. Flash is not a differentiator there. As we record this, VMworld's going on. Dell announced this morning that they're turning on their as-a-service, right?
Yeah.
Storage is a big part of that. How do you differentiate in cloud, and how do you think about kind of cloud and what you're doing with Flash-based as a continuum?
Right. Well, it's still very early days, as you know, for at least third-party vendors in cloud storage. Mm-hmm. The real success has been with object storage in cloud, but largely for cloud-initiated applications. And there's not been a lot of lift and shift other than maybe for some backup use cases in cloud. So it's very early days. Our approach is to create an environment whereby customers can have effectively the same data storage in the cloud as they have on-prem. And by the same, I mean the same from the standpoint of data control and management plane. So that it makes it easier for them to be able to move workloads between the different sites, whether it's on-prem to cloud or from cloud to cloud or from cloud back to on-prem, because both are valuable. If you want to shift an application, whether for DR purposes or because you want to move an application into the cloud, if you don't have to refactor for the different data stores, it makes it a lot easier. But also, let's say you're designing to the cloud. If you want the ability to be able to renegotiate your contract next year, you need an alternative. The alternative has to be either to move it on-prem or move it into another cloud. And so having, again, a consistent data control and management plane in the two environments is extremely important. That's our approach. We're focused on the most demanding workloads first, which are generally block storage mediums, but we're going to be moving on to other data protocols.
So as you move into that world, are you worried at all? And there's some rumblings, if you look at what the public cloud guys are doing, of Amazon and Azure becoming your competitor. I mean, Amazon has announced Outpost, where they're going to, you know, push it a little closer to the data center. Azure has similar offerings. It feels like they're kind of pushing down into your space. And as they see your success and your competitor's success in cloud, right, at some point they're going to copy that feature set. Are you worried about that?
You know, it's hard to react to potential bogeymen in the future. I think in the meantime, you know, we have to focus on delivering value to our customers today as we see it. I would think that the only thing that that prevents the cloud guys, of course, once they focus on delivering against a specific target, they have a lot of resources, and of course they can do that. I think, though, that most of their sites are higher level in the application stack on things like Lambdas and application level segmentation, providing higher level function rather than looking low level at the storage environment. Whereas what we're doing is really focused very much on the plumbing, but as we talked about in the analogy before, it's making that plumbing transparent to the user.
Sure. AI, is it a game changer for storage? It changes the way we think about storage in the enterprise. I know FlashBlade,
yes,
right, plays very nicely there when, yes, when you look at the deep learning pipeline and kind of the multivariate performance required there.
Yes.
How do you think about AI, and does it change how you think about storage?
I think it does. I think it changes the way that customers think about storage, and not just in the way that they think about their specific needs for doing an analytics workload. And it certainly does that. But I think the main thing that it's done for storage is it's convinced customers that any part of their data might be valuable one day. And therefore, they need to think about structuring their data. They need to think about placing it in an environment where it's not, let's say, archived into a cave somewhere and inaccessible, but that all of their data needs to be accessible so that it can be analyzed. And I think that's probably the largest change that's taken place. Because as you know, if you would look at all the statistics, the amount of AI that's actually going on, whether it's AI or advanced analytics, is still relatively small. But it is changing the way that customers are looking at their entire data environment and making them realize that they need to keep it available to them, whether it's through data lakes or other types of technology, so that they can use it in a competitive way.
Yeah, it's interesting. We talk to a lot of CIOs and IT practitioners, and you know, across the board, everyone has experiments around deep learning and AI, and it's mandated from up top.
Right.
But nobody knows what to do with it.
Nobody knows what to do with it. That's exactly right.
But I think the promise is all of your data becomes strategic.
Correct.
Right.
That's
and you
right.
can't throw anything away at this point.
No.
Because at some, you know, you want to be able to mine that later for insights.
Right.
So data lakes and you know, becomes extremely critical.
I think what customers have found, though, with data lakes is they become stagnant, that they don't have the power of actually providing the data at a speed required for analytics.
Sure.
So it's that was the insight behind our data hub strategy, which allowed them to, when placed nearby a data lake, to recover the data that was necessary and be able to serve it up at appropriate performance levels.
Which requires, some seamless storage tiering,
correct,
if you will.
That's right.
Right. So hopefully we'll see some announcements,
yes,
around that. I'm going to switch gears a little bit. One of the things I admire about Pure is the amount of emphasis you place on social responsibility.
Mm.
Right. There's a real crisis in the Bay Area. Anybody,
yes,
who's been here and watched, yes, this area around over the past two decades.
Right.
The affordable.
There's no question.
no question. You recently joined the Housing Trust Tech yes. Fund with Cisco and LinkedIn. Yeah. How are you thinking about being a good social citizen in the Bay Area? It sounds like you take it very seriously.
I do. I think that, companies, my overall philosophy on this is that, to a large extent, companies need to allow their stakeholders to be to have the wealth to be able to give their money away as they see fit. That being said, I do believe that companies need to be good community citizens, and part of that is looking out for our community, making it to be a good place to live. And I don't mean just our headquarters community; it's everywhere where we do business. Right? We need to be good local citizens. And so we need to look at the most pressing needs in our area. Housing really being almost, it's the one that I believe is the most foundational in an area. Of course, we do some work in hunger as well, but if people have a good, if they're not spending so much uh-huh. money just trying to find a place to live, then right. they can also
afford
food.
If they're housing poor, yes.
Right, if they're housing poor, then they're poor everywhere else. And as you point out, the Bay Area being probably the most expensive place in the world outside of some central cities is very difficult for, and it's not just the poor, it's the lower income middle class, the teachers and firemen and, the public workers who have a hard time living in this area. And so anything we can do to improve or to make more accessible housing in this area, will have a very positive outcome on our company and our employees who we employ here. Now, it's a very difficult problem, as you know, because mm-hmm. it's not just about housing; it's about local services. You can't sure. have more housing and not have more public schooling and more policing and more fire departments, more roads, et cetera, et cetera. So. It goes well beyond that, but what's great about the public housing trust that we've joined is that they look well beyond just the housing portion of this to see what we can do locally to improve the local services as well.
That's very admirable. That's good. There seems to be, related to that, a mass migration, this perception of tech to Austin. Uh-huh. When are you opening your Austin office?
No plans outside of our sales office currently.
Accelerate is next month in Austin. I didn't know if
Indeed.
You were going to scout
Indeed,
real estate.
Yeah. All right, so we need 5,000 room for 5,000 people very quickly.
All right, let's wrap up. I'm ask you a couple of open-ended questions. So you've been CEO here for three years?
Two years.
Yeah.
This month. Actually, probably close to today. I don't remember, but it's almost exactly
and you,
2 years.
And you were not a storage guy, so very different, very yeah. different market. Have you enjoyed yeah. it?
I've enjoyed it a lot.
You're learning a lot.
I've learned an awful lot, but not enough. I've still have much more to learn.
So when you look at what Pure has done since you've been here, right? What are you most proud of?
I'm very proud, although this was done largely before my time, but we've been able to continue it. Is the Net Promoter Score? I do believe it's the most important number we have in the company. As hard as it was to get here, of course, it's harder to keep it because expectations. I find that once you meet expectations, it's harder to exceed them the next time.
Well, your customers are rabid fans. I was talking to your team here before we started recording, and Accelerate is like a fan convention.
Yes.
Which is kind of great to see.
Our product, right?
Yeah.
When you find that when you give people their nights and weekends back, they tend to like you.
They do. Yeah. So when you look forward, though, this is I'll wrap up with this one, right? What are you most worried about? What's your biggest challenge to keep Pure healthy and growing?
Our biggest challenge, I would say, outside of just getting analysts have repeatedly told us that we've built a beautiful house, but the neighborhood's on fire. And there are two ways, I believe, that we can address that. Or there are two potential ways one could address that. One is to gerrymander yourself outside of the neighborhood and say, oh, no, we're not really part of that neighborhood. The other way is to gentrify the neighborhood, is to repair the neighborhood. And that's what Pure is. That's what we're focused on, which is to say that data storage and data management in general, if you think about both revenue and profit pools in the data center, it's the largest profit pool in the data center outside of software.
Yeah.
It's a great place to be able to operate. We just have to show that in fact it's not commoditizing, that it's not going to open source and white boxes, that actually if you can provide value, that customers will flock to a better solution. And once we convince the market of that, I believe that it's going to be a rejuvenized neighborhood, and we'll get the recognition.
I think
for
you're
it.
Right. I'm not one of the analysts who think your neighborhood's on fire. I think if we look at the world, and you said a lot of this during our talk today, it's becoming less about storage, more about data,
right?
And how I do my data. Right. Yep. The days of the storage administrator are numbered. Right. It's all about how do I drive value for my data. Yep. And if you approach it from that perspective, and it sounds like Pure is, it's a whole different conversation than the guys just selling bytes.
I think that's right. Right. If all you are is a storage room to lock things away and never come back to it, that's one thing.
Right.
But if you're a kitchen that's constantly serving, you're going to be very busy.
Yeah, so I think you're in the gentrified part of the neighborhood, and some of your competitors are down in the tenderloin.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Charlie, thanks again for taking the time.
Thank you. Yeah, this has been great fun.
So, Matt, that was Charlie. You didn't ask a lot of questions.
I was just so fascinated and amazed. I sat there, mouth agape the whole time.
It really was a nice day, and they treated us well, and took us to lunch, and Charlie, you know, he's very generous with his time, so it was nice that he offered to do this for us. So.
And I will tell you, man, I think the Pure story is absolutely amazing in this, you know, in a market, in an era of consolidation, and, you know, I would almost, hybrid's an interesting word, but where, you know, it's hard to separate where one technology ends and another begins. Here's a company that does one thing and does it really well, and they are just killing it in the market. That to me is just amazing.
Yes, and it's not even a storage story. If you look across the whole tech industry, there are not a lot of pure play players that, you know, are doing just one thing and doing it well. And to do that and be doing $1.5 billion a year is fairly incredible in this market. So we'll keep watching them. You know, they're in an extremely competitive environment. As we talked about, the Dells and the HPs of the world are selling you full stack solutions and software defined everything.
Yep.
And you know, how do you play in that world? Is Pure, you know, do they have a short runway in front of them, or are they poised for long term success? I don't think we know. But what encourages me is, you know, he can articulate a vision that makes sense to me. So, you know, let's see if they can go execute on
it. I love these guys, man. I also, you know, because you have to remember, this is part, you know, part technology and part salesmanship. And what I love about these guys is not only are they the pure play, pardon the pun on that, that's not just competing, but winning in a, you know, going up against the giants, but I love their guerrilla tactics, if you will, as it pertains to go to market and social and everything else. I mean, they're out there, they're aggressive, and they do a great job at telling their story. So as a marketeer, I love what they do.
Oh, they're not afraid to tell their story. I don't think it happened this year at Dell Tech World, but last year Dell made some announcements and Pure was out the same day with blog posts saying, hey, you should ask Dell this.
Mm-hmm.
They did do it this year. They said, here's what you should ask Dell about storage.
Yeah. Yep.
So, you know, I love that. They're calling the big guys on their stuff and the big guys aren't responding because it's honest.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
So we're not finished with Pure. So their 10th anniversary is coming up, and they have a big conference in Austin. Their Pure Accelerate is going to be in Austin in mid-September.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have their founder and CTO on, a guy named Kaz, to talk to us about kind of their origin story. So we're not quite finished with Pure, but we'll revisit them in a couple of weeks.
It's going to be a fun conversation.
And we truly do like these guys. They're not paying for this coverage, right? We invited them on because we like the story, and they're good guys. All right. So next week, Matt, we're going to talk about VMworld, which is wrapping up today.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the excitement there.
It's going to be a fun conversation, too.
It will. So we'll talk to you next week.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
Don't hang up.